Our reading this morning comes from the smallest section in the Bible, smallest book in the Bible, from Psalm 117. It has a whole two verses. Psalm 117. All nations, praise the Lord your God. Praise him, all people of the earth. He loves us with unfailing love. His faithfulness forever sure. Amen. I have loved watching the Paralympics over the last number of days. In fact, I've enjoyed watching it much more than the actual Olympic Games that took place a few weeks ago. I've loved hearing individual stories, hearing of how the person that finished second in the 100 meters wheelchair was in that wheelchair because he'd been shot in the head. He'd become paralyzed as the result, but he got his life back up again. The soldier who'd lost both his legs in Afghanistan 5 years ago, running in the 200 meters and in the 100 meters. And story upon story upon story about people born with disabilities or people who'd acquired disabilities throughout their lives, overcoming adversity. Inspiring stuff to watch, to listen to. And none of those more so than Jessica Long of the United States. She was born in Siberia and she was adopted from an orphanage in Siberia when she was only 13 months old, and by the time she was 18 months old, her lower limbs had to be amputated. And there she was, winning another gold medal in the pool, overcoming adversity, not wallowing in her adversity. And when she was being interviewed afterwards, she very clearly and meaningfully said this: all the glory, she says, goes to God. All the glory goes to God. Said this woman who had no lower limbs at all. And there for me was encapsulated in a life, a statement of what life should be for all of us, irrespective of what we have to travel through in life. All the glory must always go to God. And it reminded me of the shorter catechism that says this: what is the chief end? What is the real purpose of human beings? To glorify God. Not only that, but to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And here is my difficulty with a statement like that. How do we get to that place in our lives where we can meaningfully say that? Where that's a reality, where that's a true statement that comes from our own hearts. How do we get to that place, and what does it mean when we get there? I think we have to go right back to what we're doing here today. We've come here today because we're drawn here by an invitation from the church, but also from Jesus Christ, to come and to do what we've just done. Sit at his table and remember his death. There's a song in the charts by Jamie Lawson at the moment. Are they still called the charts? I don't know. But there's a song in the charts by Jamie Lawson at the moment that says, I wasn't expecting that. Goes on and on saying he wasn't expecting that, and so things happened to his life, and says, and I wasn't expecting that. And you know, sometimes we are so used to the story of the cross. We are so used to the image of the cross that we have failed to see how shocking it was to Jesus' contemporaries. How shocking it was that a good man, that any person, would have to suffer the humiliation of the cross. Nobody was expecting what God was about to do. Nobody was expecting God to intervene for the sake of the world in the way in which he did. Nobody was expecting to hear those words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Or put it into a more personal way, for God loved you so much that he gave his only Son, that if you believe in him, you will receive eternal life. Nobody was expecting that. Nobody was expecting God to do what he did. Nobody was expecting that the cross, the place of humiliation, was going to turn out to be the place of salvation for you and for me. And yet that's the story. And that's the story because ultimately it was necessary. It was fundamentally necessary that he do that for us. We are all of us, corporately and individually, in a mess. Our lives are in a mess. The cross is a statement that says, my friends, you've failed. All of you. And if we allow ourselves for a moment to get to that honest place in our lives, if we care at all about our souls and allow ourselves to get to that honest place in our lives, we will admit without reservation, yes, I failed so much that it was necessary for you to die for me. That's the simple message of what we've just done, my friends. Parents, clear up the mess of their children. You think it's going to stop after the age of 3, 4, or 5, then you wonder if it's going to stop after the age of 18 or 19, and still at 25 and 26, you're wondering whether it's going to still stop. And our heavenly parent came to clear up our mess. What love, what compassion, what perseverance. And he cleared it up spectacularly on the cross. You know what he's saying? Oh, my child, see the mess that you've got your life into. And I've come to sort it. And when we arrive at the cross, my friends, we arrive at the heart of the matter. There is a word that is used in theological language, and it's used also in Scripture. by Paul. It's called justification. And justification means simply this: God puts things right. God puts things right. And you know, sometimes we get ourselves in an awful mess in our minds through thinking that somehow we can impress God by trying to put it right ourselves. And God comes to us and says this: there is all the evidence you will ever need that I've put things right. And it's called justification by faith, because there is an invitation for us to trust that. Justification by faith alone, what lies at the very heart of the Reformation. It comes from a loving parent who sent his only son to die for those, all of us, who'd got things in a mess, in order that we might receive forgiveness, in order that we might know his grace, in order that we might walk a new path, the path of those who hold their heads high and know that through faith in Christ and all that he has done for us, we are new people.